Paddy Power presents From the Horse's Mouth.
So we're through the halfway stage for Royal Ascot 2020. Day 3 was full of action. Battleground looked good in the Chesham and Stradivarius blew them away in the Gold Cup. What a performance that was. Calusi looks like a good horse, like stakes horse even in a handicap. But onwards we go to Day 4. We've got lots to get through. Ruby's taking the night off, but Paddy and Frank will be here. But for now, I'm delighted to be joined on the line by a US-based trainer that's become synonymous with Royal Ascot, Mr. Wesley Ward.
Wesley, how are you?
Doing fantastic. Thank you for having me on.
No problem. Thank you very much for joining us. Firstly, how are you? How are things? Strange times across the world, but I take it you're keeping well.
Yeah, we're working hard every day, and not much has changed other than everything else that's going around us and the restrictions, but we're still getting up every morning training racehorses.
Good man, sticking to what you know best, I suppose. I was thinking before we came on, I was thinking, like, things synonymous with Royal Ascot had kind of Pims, the Queen, Frankie Dettori, and then you were a solid fourth place, which I think for American trainer is pretty high profile. You've got a great rapport with kind of fans of flat racing in the UK, and they kind of time their year around Wesley Ward rolling into town with some very good two-year-olds. Tell us about how you first decided to kind of come to Royal Ascot with your horses and how it all came about.
I've kind of found a little niche in racing in the States, to where early on as a young trainer I was able to kind of get the two-year-olds ready early and very well prepared, and I was able to have some success in the bigger races in California at Santa Anita at that time, and just sort of continued and built from that every year, and got a stronger team together. And after they have their initial wins in the spring, there's essentially nowhere to run until late summer when the stakes races come around. And by that time, mine weren't really competitive. When the likes of the higher profile, bigger pedigrees came out. So I would have to go in the second tier of the races. And every once in a while I'd get lucky and win a few with, just because I was ready early. So as time went on and I moved my operation east, to Kentucky, and moved my family as well, to the East Coast, I got to looking at Royal Ascot, and I thought, let me take one chance with some of the early runners, the early winners that I had in Kentucky, and go to England, where I'd already at that time had two starts. They had they broke their maiden at Keeneland, and they had a stakes race on Kentucky Derby day for two-year-olds. So the ones that were forward and early and had those success, I said, let me give it one try. And we were lucky enough to get over to Ascot, and the ground on that year was lightning fast. And I didn't realize at the time, the difference in grounds. We don't realize that here in the States, because when it rains, they take all the races off the turf. We never run on soft turf in the United States, or very rarely anyways. And so as luck would have it, it was my horses were very, very fast, and they were able to break and sustain their speed and win. And from there, I've gained a lot of knowledge in racing in Europe, which I didn't have when we first started. It was just pure luck that I brought a real fast two-year-olds over, and they broke sharp and they just kept running. Where now I know, just like we have today with and this week in Ascot, you have the conditions that you're having to deal with. And a lot of horses do handle it, a lot don't. So unfortunately yesterday, even though it was good ground, it took my advantage away, where it's good, quick, fast, where they can sustain their speed. And my horses just didn't grab a hold of it yesterday and just didn't fire. So, hopefully with Kamari anyways, that last year she was proven to where she did like the soft ground. She's one that we at least know likes it, and the others are unknown.
Just to profile your runners a little bit, Kamari, a quick word on in the Commonwealth Cup, obviously 5-1 chance of Paddy Power, but she was placed at Royal Ascot last season. How do you see her faring out, and does the rain help her chance even?
I would think it's a little bit of an advantage for her, ironically, where you wouldn't say so for my horses or for an American horse. She won in her only start this year. We got a deluge of rain in Arkansas. We shipped her to Arkansas, and you know, it was rainy conditions all week, and that was a little bit of an unknown as well. And she just took right to it. She broke a little slow, sat back, got the mud in her face, eased out, and just cruised right on. So I wouldn't think that's going to be a disadvantage to me. And as you just said, I think it may be an advantage to where I know that she will at least run on soft ground.
Two other runners tomorrow, Wesley Flying Aletha in the Albany, a good winner even in Goldstream on the dirt. What kind of chance do you give her?
Unfortunately, it's just a little bit of an unknown. You know, she's a bigger filly, kind of a lankier filly, not a real heavy type filly, which, you know, she should be able to get over it. But you never know until you get in the gates, and, you know, midway down the race is when you figure out if they like it or not. So it's a big question mark.
Golden Pal in the Norfolk, placed in Gulfstream on his first start. What kind of a horse does he like to train, and do you give him much of a chance?
I would have thought that he would be my best chance to win a race all week. He's just from day one training. I had the Norfolk pegged, and I just knew he would be that good to do it. And he's twice the horse on the turf as he is the dirt. He just floats over the ground, but it's a big question mark now with the soft ground. He's just got lightning quick turn of foot speed. He's got a beautiful mind. Kieran Fallon's been on him every day. No one's been on the horse but Kieran since he's arrived in England. And Kieran feels exactly the same I do, which, you know, says a lot that you get a guy with those credentials, you know, that feel the same about the horse as I do. And he's been on him every day throughout all of his work and gallops and right down to his jogs in the morning.
Very good. Two runners on Saturday, both in the Queen Mary. They finished first and second in Gulfstream towards the back end of May in a maiden, Royal Approval and Campanelle. Campanelle is the shorter in the betting, but is there much between them at home?
There's not a lot between them at home. Campanelle is, you know, a European bred filly to where she should take to a soft turf. The other filly is a big, heavy, robust type. So I don't know if she'll get through where, you know, they're having to stick their toe really in that ground like that. She'd want to kind of get it to where it's hard and firm. So we'll see how the conditions are on Saturday, but more likely than not, the other filly will get over it better than she will.
Well, listen, Wesley Ward, thank you very much for your time, and hopefully we'll see you back over this side of the water very soon.
I hope to get to Ireland to race someday. I'll tell you that. That's one place I'd love to go.
Well, bring it on. We'll gladly have you anytime.
Thank you so much.
This year at Royal Ascot, things are going to be a little different. The only royalty present will be the horses, with the thoroughbreds taking the crown as well as the glory. To celebrate their coronation, Paddy Power are giving money back as a free bet if your horse finishes second, third or fourth in the 150 Albany Stakes at Royal Ascot today. Hurrah! Get ready for a right royal knees up. Or should that be hooves up? Well, either works, really. Online exclusive. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power.
Well, that was great to get some insight stateside from Mr. Wesley Ward, but we now come home to speak to Frank Hickey and Paddy Power. How are you, lads?
Great, Tom. How are you getting on? Well done, Frank. Tipping up winners. Nice change.
A massive change. Good to tip up a winner and not get a slay by Ruby Walsh on the same day. So it's,
yeah, Ruby's got such a fright of Frank tipping up a winner that he has actually decided to give himself a night off.
Ruby's been backing Frank's tips, so he's probably out celebrating, well, in celebrating, as it is, maybe.
I'm sure he is, but he's decided to do it and not in the company of us anyway.
I hope he stopped following me today. Be good enough for him.
Lots to get through. Day four, lads. We'll kick on without further ado. And the opener tomorrow at 1:15 is the Palace of Holyrood House Handicap. Six places here. Frank, Art Power, 2-1, Fav, 11-2, Will to Win, Maystar, 10s alongside Keep Busy and Dancing in the Street, 12-1, and Bigger the Rest. What do you make of the Holyrood
house handicap.
Look, Dark or Arch Power is going to be different to beat. I think they were eyeing up the Commonwealth with him, and American 97 could be very lenient. I think his time in Newcastle was quite impressive on his appearance. But this woman here I thought was well handicapped at an each way price, considering we're fighting places, and that's keep busy for John Quinn. She's had plenty of experience. She has 13 starts under her belt, so she knows what she's doing. And she progressed last year from winning a handicap off 73 to ending up winning a listed race of Sean T over 5.5 furlongs in heavy ground. The rain that fell today won't inconvenience her at all. She's had 2 starts already this season, midfield in the Pavilion Stakes up in Newcastle over 6, and she was 2nd in a listed race behind Lazuli in Sandown last weekend. That was a fair effort. Kieran Fallon takes 3 off her. Rated 96, I think that's a fair enough mark. The Dan was a tough little sprinter called Look Busy, who rated as high as 106 at one stage, and each way at a double figure price.
Paddy, anything for you in the opener?
Yeah, look, I'm sick of backing short price favourites and big field handicaps here at Ascot, like after bloody African Dream and Finest Sand and everything today. So I'm going to tip up Art Power. 2-1 favour in a 5 furlong dash with loads of runners. For everyone that Frank said, I mean, I didn't look into the race half as deep as Frank, obviously, but just was very impressed on the first day's back race, and so impossible to ignore it.
Lovely stuff. Frank, before we move on, quick word on rainfall and any change to draw bias?
There didn't seem to be any bias on Thursday at all, so I've kind of ruled it out now. Like, going into the day, I thought high is where you wanted to be, but yeah, I wouldn't really think there's much of a bias there looking at the results today.
Very good. Onwards we go. The Albany is at 10-2. Mother Earth tops the market at 3-1. Golden Melody is 9-2, second favourite. Flying Aletha is 7-1 for our guest Wesley Ward and William Buick alongside Sitare. 8-1 Willabelle, 12-1, and bigger the rest. Paddy, we'll start with you. Anything you like in the Albany?
Not too strong. It's not a huge amount to go on, but I just thought Mother Earth's like, you know, Aidan O'Brien, Ryan Moore, it's a good place to start, and I looked pretty progressive at Navan when I was finishing pretty strong. But again, I'm very easily swayed in this race. It's not a strong fancy at all. It's an obvious one for me.
Well, everyone needs a little bit of help, so it's money back as a free bet. If your horse finishes second, third, or fourth, with Paddy Power up to a tenner, terms and conditions apply. Frank, the Albany.
We're paying 4 places and I'm going to take a chance on one at a price. Mihail from Mick Shannon. There was a bit of a word around for her and her debut at Newmarket. She was 20-1, I think, roughly overnight, backed into 7-1. She was a little bit slowly away and a bit green early, but she ran on really strongly in the finish. And she clocked a really fast closing sectional, which just to me, she's plenty of ability and is going to improve and step up to 6 furlongs. Mick Shannon's a decent record in these Phillies 2-year-old races at the meeting. And just again, around the 14-1 mark, I thought she was worth the small each way play.
And Tom, before you go, can I actually just, I just noticed one here I meant to say, because I just flicked down through it. This Sitare for Roger Varian, who was winning pretty much every race he has a runner in. And he's won this race a couple of times in the past as well. So just keep an eye, obviously, on the Varian runners at stable, absolutely flying.
Yeah, flying, and Jim Crowley, a man on fire as well. 2:25 tomorrow is the Norfolk. 4 places here again with Paddy Power. Eye of Heaven, 7-4 favourite. Lipizzaner, 11-4 second fav. The Lear Jet, 6-1 next in. Golden Pal, 8-1. Wesley Ward's best chance of a winner this week, in the words of in his own words, I should say. Imperial Force, 10-1, 16-1, and bigger the rest. Frank Hickey, the Norfolk.
Eye of Heaven will win, I think. He was impressive at Newmarket, well backed, went off even money. The form's worked out really well. Tactical, who was 3rd, won the Windsor Castle. Get It, who was 2nd, finished 4th in the Windsor Castle. So the form's really strong. The vibes are strong about him on debut. He won. He didn't even probably get the best trip either that day. Probably wasn't the best bit of ground. He's by Exceed and Excel, who probably have a really good record on the straight track at Ascot as well. He's a sharp price, but I can't see him beating.
Paddy, anything for you?
I'm going to agree with Wesley. Golden Pal. See, he's 8-1, Frank. Biggest price around.
And you can hardly back the wrong horse twice. On we go to the 3 o'clock, which is the Hardwick Stakes. Looks a good one too, Frank. Ellercam, 9-4 favourite. Anthony Van Dyke, 3-1. Second fav, Mirando Fives. Defoe, 13-2. Interesting there. And 9-1, Hamish, 11-1. And bigger the rest. Frank, what do you make of the Hardwick?
Just finished our our pricing conversation about this race, and I was very different to the three lads pricing the race with me. I thought Eller Cam was going to be very difficult to beat here. Like, he ran well at the track last year in the Wolverton. He was third in what looked a very strong renewal. Adeb won, and Magic Wand was second. He handled soft ground no problem. Beat Adeb up in York afterwards then on soft ground, beat him very easily. Was unlucky not to win the international last season up in York. Got the door closed him at a vital stage in that race. He's the benefit of a run as well. He ran a Haydock recently, was second to Lord North, beating a short head. That form's taken a mighty franking with Lord North running away with the Prince of Wales Stakes. And just bar Anthony Van Dyke, to me, this looks a relatively weak. You can make a case for Defoe as well, maybe, but bar that, it looks a weak race. And I'm not sure the ground's ideal for Anthony Van Dyke. And as a result, I just think Eller Cam will be difficult to beat.
Paddy?
Yeah, I'm just going with the tried and test to go for Defoe. Don't know why you can't turn up and repeat the dose.
Very good. Feature of the day, the Commonwealth Cup at 3:35, over 6 furlongs. Pierre Lapin tops the market by, of course, Royal Ascot winner Capella Sanseverio, 15-4, Fav. Frank. Golden Horde, 4-1, second. Fav, 9-2, Lopi Fernandez. Kimari, 15-2 for Wesley Ward again. He reckons the rain won't worry her too much. And Milile, 8-1 for Jesse Harrington on a recovery mission from the 1,000 guineas. Paddy, we'll start with you. Commonwealth Cup, what do you reckon?
Well, as you know, on Sunday we got a tip for a horse beginning with the word golden. Right, and I've backed every horse beginning with the word golden this week. And I don't think I've backed the right one yet, but I think this is it, Golden Horde. This is the one that, I think it's actually Frank, so Frank will give you the case for it. I presume you still fancy Frank. It was Frank who tipped it up the other day. And when you look at it, it does look like it has very strong form in the race. Clive Cox, I think it's Jason Weaver then kind of franked that form of Frank's comments by saying that he had heard that Cox thought it was one of the best winners he'd had. And he's only 4-1 now. He was a bigger price during the week, but I think Golden Horde could be very good.
Frank?
Yeah, that was like one of those tongue twisters from Bosco back in the day, Paddy, wasn't it? We did that preview Sunday night, and I was saying I thought Golden Horde should be favourite, and he's not a million miles away from it now. I am a little bit worried that Lupe Fernandez has been drafted in. I didn't think he'd run after just running the 2,000 guineas last weekend. He is a big danger, but I'm going to stick with Golden Horde. He has the strongest form in the race. Like, if you go back to last year, he progressed nearly with every run. Broke his maiden at a second start. Windsor finished only 2 lengths in the Coventry last year by Arizona. Adam Kirby dropped his reins briefly in the final furling as well, so he could have finished a little bit closer. He won the Richmond Goodwood, beating Threat. Very solid form that. Was third in the pre-morning the Group 1 in France behind Earth's Light and Raffle Prize, beating 2.5 lengths. And he closed up on Earth's Light in the Middle Park, beating only a neck. Now, was in this race, I'd be guessing he'd be nearly 2-1 or possibly even shorter, because still back Golden Horde at around the 4-1 mark. I think it's a very fair price. If he'd had a run, I'd be very confident. But as Paddy already said, or Jason Weaver was mentioning that Clive Cox was very positive about how he was going and very happy with him. So that for me, I think he's the one to beat.
Yeah, Lopi Fernandez could provide his dam Black Dahlia with her second Royal Ascot winner of the week. Of course, half-brother to Dark Vision. Interesting fact. Onward we go. At 4:10, we have the Queen's Vase or Vase. Vase or Vase, Paddy?
I'd be a Vase man.
I'd be a Vase man as well, but I'm going out with an English girl and she always says Vase. But go on.
Scone or scone?
Who knows? Paddy, go on, talk us through the Queen's Vase.
I think I'm going to be taking, well, I actually don't know what Frank's going to tip up, but because I'm the reason I'm tipping up this is kind of because Frank keeps spouting on about English King. So Berkshire Rocco for me, because of his form behind English King, who's obviously a certainty in the Derby. And that looks like good form because Frank's never wrong about these things.
Frank, are you ever wrong?
I'm rarely right, Tom. Just ask my missus.
What do you make of the Queen's Vase?
Yeah, I'm hoping for a big run from Berkshire Rocco just to frank that English. The rain might be a slight negative. He's handled it before, but I just thought it was really bringing Bournemouth's pride into this race now, the rain. If you go back to last year, she made her debut in a listed race. It's not too many horses debut at that level, and she actually won. Now, that's an achievement in itself to win a listed race first time out, but the horse beat her, Peaceful, who won the 1,000 guineas in Ireland a couple of weeks ago, and Run Wild, who won the Pretty Polly Stakes at Newmarket and Guineas weekends. The form is really strong. She was very weak in the market at Kempton in the Classic Trial on her return. Obviously, they felt she needed the run and were probably worried about the all-weather surface for her. The rain's come in time. She was initially in the Ribblesdale and they pulled her out. They've got the rain. She should improve for the step up and trip being by Bourne to see that they really stay well. I'm hopeful Berkshire Rocker runs well, but I think Bomber Pride's the one to beat.
Final race on day four is the Duke of Edinburgh. Frank, five places here again with Paddy Power. Durston tops the market at 5-1. West End Charmer 11-2, 8-1. Deja, Dubai Future 9s alongside Al Mufri and medal winner 10-1 and bigger the rest. What do you think of the Duke of Edinburgh?
There's one there. I just see it's moving everywhere now that I liked, and that's Indianapolis for James Given. Not had too many starts considering he's five. He's only had 12 career starts in total. Ran really well in some nice races last year. He was second in the conditions of Doncaster when the weights were completely against him. Really overachieved there. Finished sixth, beating four lengths in the Strong York Handicap, and was up off American 95. He won at Ascot last season in the Shergar Cup meeting, winning off American 95. Finished last season with a win at Leicester on heavy ground off a mark of 97. That was only a four-runner race. It was a tricky little race. He was the outsider of four, and the third, Getcha, 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 won his next start at Wolverhampton. He had a spin at Newmarket where he shaped like he badly needed the run. He weakened out of it in the last two furlongs. That should leave him spot on. Course winner who handles bad ground, and he's got a wide draw, which is an advantage on the round course here over my... So, yeah, I think... Again, he's around the 20-1 mark. I think that's a fair each way bet with the five places.
Paddy, anything for you in the lucky last?
Yeah, I was liking West End Charmer. I think might be quite leniently treated on an impressive run and a good race at Newmarket last time out. And only got a small penalty here. So I think West End Charmer for Mark Johnson, I think, isn't it?
Very good. Best bets time for day four of Royal Ascot. Paddy, we'll start with you. Best bet in day four.
I'm going to go for Golden Pal.
Golden Pal for Paddy Power and Wesley Ward. Frank Hickey?
I'm going to go for one from left field and go with Mahale in the Albany Stakes, the 150.
Mahale in the Albany, and for good measure, I'll throw in the Learjet in the Norfolk. That's it for day four. My thanks to Paddy Power and Frank Hickey, and even thanks to Ruby for taking the night off. And thanks, of course, to you for listening. We'll speak to you tomorrow, but for now, I've been Tom Nugent, and that has been From the Horse's Mouth.
From the Horse's Mouth is a Muddy Knees Media production for Paddy Power.